right now in downtown Springfield.
It's actually been a while since the last time we talked to Springfield City Councilor Justin Hurst. It's always a pleasure to get him back on the show. Good morning, Justin. How you doing?
Good morning. How's everything? It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you on. Listen, I got a mole in the city council meeting. Which is actually not true at all, because city council meetings are open to the public.
And usually when John O'Brien says he's got a mole, it usually turns out badly.
Yeah, it's very badly, in fact. But I'm told that one of the discussions that came before the city council last night was the issue of the fire department and collective bargaining. But what I was told specifically was that there is a website, some kind of a website that is used by the fire department, or members of the fire department are on this website, and that there were some racial comments that were within the website, and somehow there's going to be a racial aspect to this collective bargaining that's going on. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I certainly, I am only privy to one of the comments, and that was sent to me via text. It wasn't necessarily racial in nature, but it certainly compared residency to wanting to give handouts similar to the welfare system. And so essentially, I think they were referring to the counselors who were against the collective bargaining agreement because residency was not going to be applicable to those who are in violation. They assumed that we wanted to give our buddies who may have been next in line the job, and they compared it to giving handouts similar to the welfare system.
What is this website they're talking about?
I think it was on a Facebook post. I think it was via social media, you know, I believe they screenshotted it, and they had those that were supposedly submitted to the commissioner, although the commissioner at the meeting said that he never received them. And so, you know, we'll see what comes of it. If, you know, either way, the particular comments that were made, if they were indeed made by a district chief, were very insensitive in nature. And, you know, I hope that the city and the fire department holds these gentlemen accountable.
So that's what I was going to ask you, because obviously in a Facebook post, there is a level of attribution that you can say, well, this came from this person or that person, as opposed to an anonymous comment that you would see like on a Mass Live story.
Yes. This was not anonymous. Excuse me. It actually had the gentleman's name, which I won't reveal. You know, I want to make sure we get to the bottom of the validity of the post and make sure we have accurate information before I comment on it. But if it is indeed true, again, the remarks were insensitive, and I think there was another Facebook post by a lieutenant. And my understanding is that these remarks were not recent, but they were certainly, you know, at the outset of us fighting for residency. These came out as a result.
Do you think that this is the kind? So I'm confused here. So this is a collective bargaining agreement for the deputy chiefs, is that it?
Yes, this is a collective bargaining agreement for the deputy chiefs. We've turned it down twice in the past, and just recently last night we turned it down again. And the reason why we turned it down is because you have people making large amounts of money and taking the money that the city pays them and investing that money in the suburbs. And, you know, I think people on the council are tired of it. These people are in obvious violation of the residency requirement, which the city has said is applicable to these individuals. And they insist on, you know, not moving into the city. And, you know, myself and other councilors are quite frankly tired of it. And so we did not approve their contract last night. And I'm hopeful that the councilors won't approve it in the future.
So does this become an issue, or is there an ability to compartmentalize this, to continue to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement and at the same time possibly investigate racist comments that may or may not be on social media by members of the fire department?
Yeah, I think you should do both. You know, I don't think the entire, you know, all of the district chiefs should suffer because of one or two individuals who made comments based on their own personal viewpoints that were clearly insensitive And you know, I'm sure to some could be interpreted as racial in nature. So I wouldn't categorize in, you know, an entire collective bargaining unit over one or two individuals.
How many are there? How many district chiefs are there?
I believe there are 6 district chiefs, and there are 10 people in the collective bargaining unit. And so out of those, I believe there are 10 district chiefs. And out of those 10 district chiefs, 6 of them live outside of the city.
This is Springfield City Councilor Justin Hurst on the phone. So this residency requirement is really just about higher ranking officials in the fire department. It's not necessarily about, you know, those rank and file firefighters who are just doing their job.
No, it's not about the rank and file at all. In fact, we approved the rank and file contract unanimously at our last meeting, simply about the individuals who all are making over $100,000. They knew that they had a year to move into the city if they were promoted to district chief, and for a variety of different reasons chose not to move back into the city.
So
as a result, go ahead.
So I'm really confused now. 6 out of 10 of the district chiefs don't live in the city. One of them was supposed to be ordered by the commissioner to move to the city, 1 of 6 for some reason. And when that order was refused and discipline didn't come down the pike the way it should have, the mayor decided to no longer renew the contract of the commissioner, but yet the other 50% of the district chiefs don't live in the city.
It's very confusing. It would seem to me that if you're going to fire the commissioner for not implementing the residency requirement for one individual who was a deputy fire chief, it seems to me that you wouldn't negotiate a contract that allows 5 other members who are in violation to be grandfathered in. So I'll leave that up to the administration. You know, I'm not 100% sure, you know, what their take is on that. But, it seems to me to be a little contradictory.
Do you a little bit? Do you agree with the decision to reprimand Joe Conant for this?
That's a tough one. I think there were a lot of, not a lot of other commissioners, but there certainly are other people that have done more egregious things than Commissioner Conant did. Short of, the mayor and his administration advising the commissioner to do one thing and he did another, if that was the case and there was some level of insubordination there, which I'm not aware of, but if that was indeed the case, then I completely understand him firing the commissioner. If that was not the case, there are other individuals who are in similar positions who have done things that I believe are more egregious than Commissioner Conant.
Yeah, but I mean, even if it's insubordination, once again, you've got 60%, 6 out of 10 deputy chiefs who don't live in the city. And for whatever reason, the mayor chose 1 of those 6 to be disciplined. And when the commissioner didn't carry forth that discipline, a career firefighter is basically, is Joe Conant going to be off the fire department when his contract expires, or does he get to go to a demoted position?
I'm sure he can go to a demoted position if he so chooses, and I'd imagine that would either be a deputy chief's position or a district chief's position. I think that's really up to the administration in terms of how they want to handle it.
How many deputy chiefs are there?
There are 10 deputy chiefs. 6 of those deputy chiefs.
I'm sorry.
Currently,
all right. I'm sorry. I repeated that. How many district chiefs are there?
I'm sorry. You said there are 10 district chiefs. There's 1 deputy chief.
Okay. That's it. So the deputy chief, there's a single one of those, and then 10 districts, and 6 of them don't live here.
And 6 who don't live here, and the 1 deputy chief was, I'd imagine, who the administration wanted the commissioner to fire for being in violation of the residency ordinance. He did not fire him.
I just really want to try and make sure I'm clear on this. So it was the deputy commissioner, Geyer, that the mayor wanted Joe Conant to discipline. It wasn't one of the 6 district chiefs who don't live in the city.
No, it was just the deputy
chief.
Right.
It was just the deputy chief, but the mayor and his administration have been on record on numerous occasions saying that these district chiefs, along with Deputy Geyer, are also in violation of the residency ordinance.
Got it.
So they're very clear on that. Why they only wanted the commissioner to fire one as opposed to all of them is beyond me, and certainly a question that the administration has to answer.
So Justin, what's the next step? Where does this go? Whether it's with the Facebook post or with it's the residency requirement, what happens now?
Well, you know, I think now that the Facebook post has been brought to light, you know, it's incumbent upon the administration to do their due diligence and investigate the Facebook post to identify if there, you know, if there's any violation of the policies in the fire department. And if there are, I'd imagine that some sort of action should occur, disciplinary action should occur. With respect to the district chiefs and this contract, you know, I'm not asking for anybody to be fired. You know, I understand that that's what the letter of the law says, but it seems to me that there should be a period of time in which these individuals can either move in or they should be demoted. And that would allow others who have been playing by the rules an opportunity to be in these particular positions.
So if you thought it was difficult to explain that to an eighth grade dropout, where do you see the next question I'm going to ask you? I'm told also last night that the Union Station came up $750,000 short in its first year operating budget. My question is this: who finances Union Station? Is that federal money, state money, city money, or a combination of all?
My understanding is that it's a combination of all. You know, I understand, you know, the city, because any private organization who, you know, created a contract with the city for Union Station, you know, recognizes that they're starting out at a deficit just because, you know, you don't have the tenants in the building at the outset. And so I think the city was trying to make it more attractive for the SRA. And so they in turn said that they would that, you know, they would finance the difference for the first year, which happens to be $750,000. You know, my hope is that by the time all of the tenants are filled, you know, at Union Station, that the city will no longer have to be responsible or on the hook for certainly that amount of money, and I don't think for any amount of money, in my opinion.
Okay. That's a little bit more. So the Redevelopment Authority is going to finance it up to that point?
My understanding is that the Springfield Redevelopment Authority is the one who ultimately will be responsible and will be, you know, either reaping the benefit of any money paid off of Union Station or certainly breaking even, you know, if breaking even from the deal. So my hope is that the city won't continue to have to cover the gap, you know, for Union Station. If you look at other cities, Worcester, you know, is at a you know, I mean, they're running at a deficit with respect to, you know, their train station, and it's costing the city money regularly. And so my hope is that the city didn't enter into any long-term deal, which I don't know of, to supplement the cost of Union Station not, you know, bearing as much revenue as they initially had anticipated.
And yet you still don't have a commuter rail coming to Springfield, so you're automatically putting yourself at a loss.
That is true. You know, my hope is that Eric Lesser and Senator Lesser and, you know, his efforts will come to fruition. You know, the question is, you know, how long will that take?
Yeah,
I think
Everybody's
hopeful and optimistic.
City Councilor Justin Hurst, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and thank you, Rock 102, for all that you do.
Thanks, Justin.
Justin Hurst from the Springfield City Council. It's 8:24 on Rock 102.